ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's a Thursday. It's Barry, Joel, and Nick. We are all present and accounted for. We just had a Super Bowl pep talk, so we can't wait because it's coming. But whether you like it or not, or you're ready for it or not, the Super Bowl is getting closer.
I'm pumped.
It's going to be fun.
I'm excited.
You guys got to be jacked up because we're going to be on Radio Row all week, which means amazing interviews, like, every segment.
The access is, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
And as long as I get to participate in Matt Moore's funeral.
Yeah. I think they can arrange. You could be a pallbearer.
Yeah, I'll be happy.
If that's possible. So we've got a lot to talk about. Rockets, drop one. I've getting a lot of tweets last night.
Uh-oh.
They did what you wanted them to do. No, it's not what we wanted them to do. That's the toughest matchup that besides going to Utah or Denver, where you have the altitude and an airport in the middle of nowhere, and Utah because it's just tough to get to on a back to back, which the Rockets used to always have to deal with. They've had two second night of a back to backs where they had to go to Minneapolis in the middle of the butt ass cold winter and try and get a game. They somehow pulled one out in overtime the last time. They were 9-0 on the second night of a back-to-back. I don't think you guys listening have any idea how hard
pretty
that
impressive.
Is. Yeah. So to lose that game last night, it's going to happen. And without Eric Gordon, it's going to happen a little bit more frequently.
Yep.
But look, in no way, shape, or form did I want it to happen. And I give them all the credit in the world for trying to fight through it. Ryan Anderson started off just completely, 0 for his first six from three.
I believe.
He found the range a little bit later. But yeah, those things are going to happen. And look, there's two things that I keep mentioning to you guys that were at the forefront. Points in the paint, rebounds were ridiculous. Points in the paint, 56-36 Minnesota. Rebounding, 49-32. And I love Harrell's energy. But when you got a guy like Karl Anthony Towns to deal with, it's a different animal.
Harrell came out strong with the 9 points. So he came out strong. It just didn't finish strong, but yeah.
Oh, but you got to pound the boards too. You know, he's athletic, so he's going to get his opportunities just because they're playing up tempo. And if they get out in a mini break situation, he can do a lot of things. But the one thing that I wish they would have kept doing, let Karl Anthony Towns shoot the three ball. That flat-footed thing that he was throwing up there like a grenade launch, I was like, man, if I'm Mike D'Antoni and he's anywhere near the line, get 10 feet off of him and say, I dare you. Because he wasn't even close.
You know what surprised me is that the amount of blocks that the Timberwolves were getting. It seemed like in the second half, several occasions, with Rockets trying to, just make something happen, be creative in the paint. Even on breaks, they were getting their junk blocked. And it was like, man, they ended up with the Wolves ended up with 8 blocks total for the game. But it just seemed like it was just every time, almost. It seemed like, wow, that kind of shows you where that length can be a factor sometimes, especially if your shot's not falling and you're trying to get into the paint to make something happen. When there's big boys down low that can block shots, man, that can create some havoc.
You've always been quick to let us know the importance of length. But at the same time, it's starting to catch up with them. You know, they had 1-9 in a row.
Well,
going.
It's one game.
No, not to your point. No. Let me get where I'm going with that. Not what you were talking about. So they had 1-9 in a row, but 5 of those 9 wins were comeback wins where they were down by double digits. So eventually, you play with fire enough, you're going to get burned too.
Yeah.
So you got to take that into consideration. I loved the determination to fight back and get that thing to within 1 at the half on the Nene turnaround 3, and then Harden starts off the second half with a tray, and you're like, they got a 1-point lead, and hey, this is where they normally kick it in gear. And again, this is normally when Gordon comes in off the bench for energy, when Harden sits down, and then they both go to work in the fourth quarter. And without Eric Gordon there, it was tough. But they were up 69-68 in the third quarter, and Minnesota then rattled off 11 of their next 16 shots and scored 31 points in 9 minutes. That, as they say, was the beginning of the end, because you know what? They just didn't have the legs. I mean, you could see it.
They were tired.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not the end of the world. The sky is not falling. It's one game. This happened last time. They won 10 in a row. Then they went on to lose 2 out of their next 3 or something like that. And it's okay. I mean, it's going to happen. And I mean, you did see where Eric Gordon, what he means to this to this offense. Yeah. And I think Clint Capela would have helped a little bit too down low. So
on Towns for sure.
Yeah. So you know, it's going to come. It's fine. I'm not panicking. If they are going to lose 5 out of their next 6, then it's like, whoa.
But
this is getting scary. But right now, one game.
Yeah, game, and I want Rockets fans to put this into perspective. Only the third time in the history of the franchise, which dates back to 1972, coming to Houston, and even earlier than that in San Diego, 67, for only the third time, they're 31-10. So you already know they're off to a great start. The other thing is, ask any NBA team from a basketball perspective, would you like to rattle off 10 in a row and 9 in a row in the same season? They'd go crazy because it's so hard to do. So they're already way ahead of the curve. And these kind of things are going to happen. And look, there's plenty of things you can point to, from the back-to-back and the flight to losing Eric Gordon and not having Clint Capela. It's all there. So it's not panic mode by any means. And I'm the first one to tell you, look, I'm going to be brutally honest, and I don't think it's a bad loss at all. And I still love the way they're playing. But again, Eric Gordon means that much to this team. That's why I've been pushing for him for All-Star, because James Harden's going to get it and he deserves it. But man, Eric Gordon makes this team go.
He makes them much better. He is a legit threat, a scoring threat that comes off that bench. And they could have, they needed it last night. The shots weren't falling, and you could tell no one was able to give them the lift that they're used to when he comes in the game. So it does matter. And I just want to say, SEDEX Sports is the one that tweeted us, like, well, you got what you wanted. I took it as tongue in cheek. I don't think he was trying to bash us that we actually. Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we didn't. I mean, I can't speak for you. I wasn't, you know. I don't think that they meant that, and certainly I wasn't rooting for the Rockets to lose to the Wolves or anyone else.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know what? It'd be great if they could go out and win some of those games against tough teams, which they did. And then if they drop one every once in a while to a team like the Wolves, you know, because it's a back-to-back and travel, I'm good with that.
Yeah, take the Toronto win. Yeah. Take the Orlando win after a big emotional win the night before. Take the games that they've won or a lot of the games that you thought they'd lose. I need not remind you, but I will. This team was swept by the Denver Nuggets last year. This team had their hands full with the Sixers in 2 games last year. This team dropped a lot of games they should have won last year, at least on paper coming in, and a lot of games during the game that you said they got this and they let get away. So if this is the first one you really chalk up, and I would say this, if I would think of another one, it would be the first Oklahoma City game where you're winning the majority of the game and you let it get away late where you didn't score for about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But normally by this time of the year where we're almost to the midway point, I can count how many of those games got away on 2 hands. I'm already on the second hand, which means you've let way too many get away. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to press a panic button or tell you that there's something to be concerned about, because this team has overachieved the entire season so far and put themselves in a really good position.
I would agree.
So, Nick, you have nothing to worry about. But Friday night, those big, bad Memphis Grizzlies are going to come in here, and they're going to play big and physical and nasty and mean. And that's where I sure hope Eric Gordon's back.
Are we playing the Grizzlies, or is the Rockets playing the Grizzlies tomorrow night?
Friday night, yep. I believe it's Friday night Memphis, then they go on the road for 2.
I thought it was the Thunder, but we'll find out. But yeah.
No, because, well, they already played the Thunder 3 times, so I don't think they're coming back. And so I'm almost positive
it is Memphis. The Grizzlies.
Yeah, it's on Memphis, the 13th, and then they go on the road. So
cool.
I think then they go on the road for Brooklyn and Miami, so it'll be interesting to see. So we got plenty to talk about. We want you to join the show, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up by either texting that number or calling. We'll get you on the show. We'd love to have you take part in it. And also hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we'll make sure that you get a part of the show. And if you don't deserve it, you won't be a part of the show, because you don't take into consideration common courtesy. I want to tell you right now about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a program that's very important. It's all driven by you, and that's no pun intended. The bottom line is there are kids in this community that did not do the right thing with the first chance to get an education, but they're trying to straighten it out and do something right the second time. They're just a little short in terms of the resources to try and make it happen. That's where Cars for Kids comes in. They make sure that they can take whatever you have, a vehicle that's working or not, whether it be a car, a boat, an RV, a trailer, it doesn't matter. All you do is pick up the phone. You call 713-225-4226. Or you get on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know what you got. They do the rest. They do the paperwork. They bring a tow truck. They come out. They get it. And the best part about it is once they get it off your hands and you get a nice tax deduction, they turn that into resources for these kids trying to get an education. If you need book money, if you need meal money, if you need some eyeglasses, if you need a bus fare, it's an awesome, awesome program because it allows these kids to not have excuses and have resources so they can get the education they need and make something of themselves in the Houston community. And it's all because of you. This program works because you make it work. So all you got to do is mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5 and either call 713-225-4226 or go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. They'll walk you through all the details. They'll make sure you get a tax deduction. And at the end of the day, the best thing is you'll feel really good because not only did you get what you needed out of getting rid of whatever you had, but you feel good because you made a difference in a kid's life trying to get an education. Always right off the car, not the kid.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry's been out in the parking lot during the break working on his left-handed hook shot, getting ready for a three-on-three league that is starting up soon that I think he's going to dominate. He and the Cube are going to go one-on-one on the sideshow, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Did I ever
bit.
Tell you the story about my three-point hook shot? Did I tell that story on this show?
I don't believe
not
you
on this show, no.
A three-point
oh my God.
Hook shot.
Yes.
Well,
would
then.
You like to hear the story?
Or sure.
Do you want me to
please continue.
So this is how you'll know how unathletic I was as a kid. I was in junior high, and on this team, by the way, I just want to preference, Ike Nwankwo played on the team.
Yeah.
Ike actually played for the Rockets,
yeah, he
which
sure
I'm
did.
Sure you remember
yes,
him.
He did, yeah.
He won a national championship at UCLA, but he went to my junior high, and in junior high, he was like 6'4", 6'5".
Wait, UCLA?
Yeah, he went to UCLA, won a national championship.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was ASU.
No, UCLA. So he was on the team, and I was the scrappy defensive replacement that couldn't shoot, had no handle. Like, you know, like you put me in.
So
when,
you were Nick, but on a higher level.
It was lower.
Oh, okay.
Much lower level. So, like, you put me in the game when the other team's point guard was just going off and you just wanted someone to, you know, go in there and just foul the crap out of him. Like, that's, I was not good on defense. I was just relentless. And I was going to foul out within like 4 minutes. Like, that was my MO. So you didn't put me in the game unless you just were trying to send a message or just, you know, get under somebody's skin. So I'm in the game one time and I'm bringing the ball down the corner and everyone knows I can't dribble. Like, everybody knows I have no handle. So they trap me as I come across the half court line and I freak out and I'm dribbling, so when I say I take off running, I didn't travel, but I just start sprinting to try to get out of the trap. And then a third guy comes up from the baseline to trap me, and I just heaved up a three-point hook shot. And it missed, of course. It missed everything.
It would have been so awesome.
I thought it was going to say it went in.
No, it hit like the back of the backboard and went the other way and hit off the wall. And then my coach calls timeout, and I look over. He was so pissed. Everyone in the stands is laughing. The benches are laughing. I was so embarrassed. I literally quit basketball the next day.
You know what I'd have said?
I never played again, and then I tried out my senior year in high school.
That's all you got to do is tell people you commanded a triple team. Because they came at you from all over. That's the way you spin that one.
They knew.
Man, my shot wasn't falling because I was commanding a triple team.
Hey, you try to sink that with three people. A running three-point hook shot out of sheer panic. Like, I wasn't cool under pressure at that age.
Now I know why when I was going about my defense, you were saying, nah, you're just probably fouling.
Yeah, because that's I know how it is.
By the way,
sorry,
it is family week. Nick, whenever one of your relatives want to call in this week or chime in, just let us know. Because we had a good family day yesterday, and my brother-in-law, who's listening from California, said, Joel, you're thinking of Ike Diagu. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Another NBA player, ASU.
Oh, that went to ASU?
Yeah.
Nice pull there.
So there you go. That's my man, Mike. My man, Mike, Lisa's brother, is a encyclopedia of sports knowledge, filling in moonlighting as a assistant district attorney. But he'd rather be somewhere watching sports for a living. So he lives vicariously through me, and if I ever get in trouble, I live vicariously through him.
Yeah.
It works out great.
So now you know why I would never be on the three. But when you said practicing my hook shot, I was like,
well, but you know what? It's like,
oh, if you only knew.
When the Rockets had the media tournament, I mean, Raheel, Nuno, I mean, they take a lot of pride in the fact that they never lost. We never played, and we never got to play like competitively against them. But, you know, I guarantee Craig Ackerman used to like get – he's like, we're playing this year, and I'm going – and Craig is the dirtiest player you've ever seen in your life.
Really?
And he's strong because he plays a lot of hockey from the lower half. He wanted to go in and just do damage, and I think they wanted to prevent that. So –
yeah,
but yeah, but Raheel's team.
Game.
Yeah, Raheel's team won the media tournament. I think 5 years in a row. Him, Nuno was on their team for a while, but they did well. Yeah. So I think they skipped it last year, but they might have it again this year.
I'm not that good. I mean, I'm more under control now as an adult.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't have any handles though.
But we got
forced me to my left.
I'm
and
telling
I'm
you,
done.
We got defense covered. Between
yeah.
you and Nick,
yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Gary Payton's glove ain't come close to the mittens we got in here. You guys are shutdowns.
I'm your Pat Beverly without winning the skills competition.
But wait,
though.
Now it makes sense. It's the shutdown corner, only it's the strong safety for
there
Barry.
You go. See, that's
we got it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
As long as you don't need to put Trey in there for his half Robert Swift. All right, so we got plenty to get to. We kind of touched on the Rockets. A lot of you guys are getting in on Twitter to get in on the Rockets conversation. So if you want to keep that going, let us know, and we'll definitely keep that conversation going. What everybody's talking about today is, you know, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but this whole Chargers move to L.A., I don't know if you guys, did you read Dean Spanos' letter? Basically,
I didn't read his letter.
Not the letter, no.
So
no,
he sends a letter. They put it out. By the way, their Twitter page is already the Los Angeles Chargers. And he sends out a letter, and it was like, you know, we're always going to be, you know, a part of the San Diego community. But, oh, by the way, we just can't wait to get it. And it was just like a steel-toed work boot right in the grapes. And it was like, then he just kept kicking. And he's already put the letter out there while they're taking their Heine Winery. They're already excited about going to L.A. And it's like, man, then you look at the logo. And I was saying it looked like if the Dodgers logo on their hats, the L.A. and the Tampa Bay Lightning had an illegitimate child, that it would come out looking like the new Chargers logo. It's the L.A. with a bolt for the bottom of the L going across the A. And it's the most generic thing. I saw the greatest tweet about it. Jeff Blum, the Astros announcer, who's a California guy and lives out that way, said, I hope for all the money that you saved for logo design and graphic artists that you can possibly turn it into some way to try and reimburse the San Diego fans who are really bitter that they're losing their team.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And we got a text from somebody that said, I'm probably the only San Diego fan in H-Town. Once Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates are done with the Chargers, so am I. I don't know one person in Cali that likes L.A. more than San Diego. L.A. is just Houston with okay weather. And he said, plus the logo looks like it was created by a third grader.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
And I'm all for simple-looking logos, but that one just didn't it just didn't have any type of punch to it. You know what I mean?
That looks like a junior college that's trying to, you know, or the high schools here in Houston that all copy NFL logos on their for their logo. It's like they just made a subtle little tweak.
You know what it looks like? It looks like remember when you used to play video games and they didn't license through the NFL, so they made up their own teams? This is like the L.A., like the L.A. Stallions, and they would have just that would be their logo. It's like not a real – it doesn't look like a legitimate logo. It looks like a made-up video game logo.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is and the fact of the matter is we were talking about it with Keenan yesterday, and Keenan and Trapp would be two guys to ask because they both played in San Diego.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Their – Qualcomm was a hellhole.
Was it?
Awful stadium. They lost the vote to try and redo it, and I think with that you lost your team.
Here's I mean, this whole thing reminds me of a conversation we had a few weeks ago on the show when I brought it up about loyalty in sports. And I you know, I caught some heat from a bunch of you guys out there listening about why are you so loyal to these teams? Why are you so loyal to these players and to these teams? And you say we's and, you know, and then people are like, well, I spend my money and I go to the games. This was my whole point. What's going on in San Diego was the entire point of that conversation. These teams and these players, they're not loyal to a city. They're not loyal to the fans. They don't care.
Oh, they're loyal to the mighty dollar.
This is a bottom line business, and the bottom line is how much money can they make?
And
so this whole notion of, you know, fans are like, I don't care, win or lose, this or that. Like, I don't understand the blind loyalty. If my team stops spending money, I'm not going to those games until they start spending money again. If they're putting a crap product on the field, I'm not going to watch it, and I'm not going to root for it until they put something better on the field.
Ironically, you mentioned that. Brandon on Twitter had said, I know you guys have discussed the topic before, but do fans follow their teams when they relocate? So it was exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, to the point that Travis made that I thought would get a lot more run than it did, but Travis made the point, what, 2-3 weeks ago, that the NFL, they don't care about wins and losses. And he was adamant about it. He's like, it was all about the business of making money. And teams don't care if they win or they lose and how far they win or they lose, as long as they're making money. And I was shocked by that. And he was adamant about it. Keenan kind of backed it up. Those are guys that have actually put on a helmet and put on some shoulder pads and been in the league for a long time. And that's like, that's so painful for a fan to hear, because for a fan of an NFL team or any sports team for that matter, every year is the new hope that they're going to win it all. And if you hear that that's not their first priority and their goal, God, that's got to kick some people right in the...
Well, I mean, Astros fans went through that for several years during the rebuilding. You know, I mean, you knew going into the season the Astros weren't trying to win.
I mean, that's the very, very far extreme, and in baseball, and you're right, and the writing was on the wall. But I think for the most part, and even not that the Cleveland Browns thought they were going to win the Super Bowl, but look at Houston for an example. People thought at the start of the year, now that they finally had a quarterback, that they had a roster that was good enough to compete to get to the Super Bowl.
Who?
The Houston Texans.
No one thought that.
Oh, that's not true.
No one
thought that. A lot of people thought that. They had finally solved the quarterback position, and they could compete with the best in the AFC, and that they wanted to be in
the Super Bowl. I think there was a lot of uncertainty only because Brock was at... Because we no one really knew how good Brock was. That's the reason
why. I don't think anyone thought that this team was going to be competing.
I completely disagree. I think there was a lot of people, I think there was a ton of people actually that I heard from early in the season and getting ready for the start of the season that thought this team now can compete because they have a quarterback and they have all the other pieces. It wasn't until I heard Travis say that he didn't think that the Texans roster was as good as the Cleveland Browns once we got three quarters of the way through the season that I started thinking, well, maybe people's perceptions have changed a lot because of how bad Brock played early in the year. And again, it goes back to the whole I drank the Kool-Aid and I believe in this team thing and how passionate they are about football in Texas. But I think a lot of people thought that this team was a contender.
Oh, okay.
That's before JJ got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that's with everybody that they had, with a Lamar Miller and all the pieces that they had. I think there was, and you guys can let me know if I'm wrong, but there was a lot of people that I heard from that thought, hey, and believe me, because that's where a lot of the Kool-Aid stuff came from. I'm like, what Kool-Aid? Seriously, what have you been drinking? I see it from a different perspective, and I'm trying to be honest, but I think at the start of every year, unless you're just, real, like you said, like the Astros bad, I think people believe that their teams...
I don't know if Cleveland does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, unless you're in that situation, but I think most teams believe that either they're going to compete for a title or their main goal is to win. And to hear ex-players say that their main goal is just to make money, that's not what fans want to hear either.
Yeah.
So to your point, maybe that's why you don't call them we. But we'll see. You guys want to chime in? Let us know. 713-780-ESPN. You can hit us up and we'll get you in on the show. You can also text that number or hit us up on Twitter. We've got a lot to get to. We want to get to this new Ice Cube driven, not drink, but league that we can talk about and a whole lot more. We've got a great show planned for you and it's even better when you participate. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So Joel, Nick, Barry, the fearsome threesome, back in studio. We love your loyalty as listeners. Sometimes we do question whether you're going to be people of your word. We will never question JJ again, but we will question the fact that he actually followed through far more graphically than we ever could have expected. JJ sent us a tweet before the break, and as you know, JJ is a loyal listener to the show, willing to fight for us and everything. And we love JJ. We always hope that when JJ is talking about the JJ that he pulls over... but at the same time, he has been adamant when we had earlier in the week, pick your dream announce teams for your teams coming up for a big game, even if it's the Texans this weekend, and it included play-by-play, color, and sideline. JJ decided to put a, shall we say, retired, hopefully, porn star into the mix, in which he took a lot of heat. So then he said he was going to come back and have some suggestions for us. Not today, before the break, he said, forget suggestions. I haven't forgot. I'm actually going to give you pictures. We thought, you know, the head and shoulders shot, the, hey, this chick's hot looking even though shot. No, they were action shots, if you know what I mean.
My timeline right now is riddled with
porn.
Porn. Yep. I'm glad you. I was going to be a bit more descriptive, but porn, just pure unadulterated filth. And I have never been more happy than I am right now about this. Good job, JJ.
Yeah.
My man.
I don't know who these people are, and I don't know that it matters, but I do know, JJ, that you definitely are a connoisseur of the fine arts based on what you've dug up and distributed. Let's just put it that way.
That's, woof. Yeah.
I'll leave it as a player to be named later, but when I have some of my friends in the NBA used to say about their some of their bigger star players that after shoot-arounds, especially those that had their shoot-arounds in the downtown scenarios of their arenas, that one day they were talking about, you know, you're going to go grab lunch, you're going to go do this, what are you going to do? And they started talking about the fine arts. And I'm like, fine arts, like the museums and all this other stuff? And they're like, no, that's the code word for the fact that a lot of guys will go right from shoot around to the strip club and pass the time between practice and the game. I'm like, and they play well? And they're like, well, it depends on how much of the arts they indulge in. And there
depends
you have.
Depends on how much money the arts cost.
Or how much it takes out of you.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Somebody texted us that I was the goon on my basketball team. That was Will in Deer Park, which, by the way, he said he's back on the night shift. Glad to be listening again.
There you go.
Glad to have you back, Will. But he said I was the goon. That's probably pretty accurate.
Every team needs a goon.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. But I was like also the smallest guy on the team. So that's kind of weird. Somebody said that they give up. They are, once the Chargers move, they are not sticking with them. So they're a free agent. If you were a free agent, which team would you root for?
Come on, man.
Would you? You? I'm asking you. You can't pick the Packers. If the Packers
move. Okay, I can't pick the Packers. If the Packers I'm a free moved, agent, what team would I root for?
Yeah. Are you going to go just...
I would go with like a...
Patriots?
No, I could never do that. They get under my skin. They're okay. Like Alabama to me. They bother me. Plus, and I've told you guys this before, and one day I would love for Keenan to tell the entire story, but the fact that I've sat and listened to a full table of ex-NFLers talk about how they know how many times the Patriots have fudged the rules, it was mind-boggling to me.
Okay.
But I would say I would take a team with a lot of young players that is coming up the ranks and is pretty good, and I have to think about that for a second.
Okay.
It's definitely not going to be the Patriots. Who are you taking?
I would, you know, it's weird. It's weird how sometimes when you're a kid, certain things have an impact on you, and you remember that, and it sticks with you. As a kid, I remember watching a Broncos game, and I don't even remember who it was, but I saw a receiver, and it was part of a highlight reel that would always run. But I saw a receiver do a backflip in the end zone. I don't know why that stuck out in my head. But then that made me want to watch Bronco games. And so I've always been like a closet Bronco fan. Just
was it Rick Upchurch? I'm trying to think.
I don't remember. I just remember seeing that, and I've always watched. So I watched Elway, and I love to watch Elway play, you know, the comebacks. And, you know, even through now with Peyton and all that, it's always been one of those teams that I just kind of watched. So if I was a free agent, which I didn't root for anyone once the Oilers left, because I was hopeful that we would get another team in this city. But if I were in San Diego, knowing that we're probably not going to get another team, I would probably go Broncos, which I know would be difficult for them. But I would probably go Broncos for me personally.
Nick, who are you going with?
I don't really have an NFL team that I would.
Well, you have to pick one.
You have to pick one. It's not. You don't get to go off the board.
Yeah, you don't get to NFL. Who are you picking? You can't be a Texans fan.
Because I like
they Phillip. Lose. They move. They.
I'll tell you mine. I think I would
like
be
what?
I like Phillip Rivers, man. I was a fan
so
of him.
Are you going to be an L.A. Chargers fan?
No, okay. But I did like Phillip Rivers, especially in the first half.
He's not dead, you know. He's
he's just like moving him. To L.A., and according to some people, he doesn't want to go.
It's really tough for me. I don't want to say Cowboys. I'd probably
I would murder you.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go with, right there, too.
I'd probably go with, like the Giants with Manning. I wouldn't mind the Giants winning.
Really? At least you'd have a fishing trip planned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind them winning at all. I mean, it wouldn't bother me. I don't hate the Giants.
You know what? I'm going to go Pittsburgh. Because when I grew up and the Packers did 20-some years of not making the playoffs.
That's a good one.
And I just Antonio Brown. Back in the day, my favorite player was Lynn Swann. He was phenomenal. Him and Peyton, Walter Peyton, and now you look at that combination with Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Brown, and their defense is just always tough as nails when they need to be. I think I'd probably go Pittsburgh.
The reason why I said that is because when Hakeem left to Toronto, that's kind of how I became a Toronto fan a little bit.
Okay.
But that's the reason why I can see why people kind of follow players. But I'm with you in the regard that the people are still the Oilers fans that are still Titans fans. That's
you got a lot of Rockets connections over there in Toronto too, so you could still be somewhat of a closet Raptor. Kalari.
Oh, that's right.
Patrick Patterson.
That's right.
Yeah, they got some Rocket love over
Somebody
there.
Somebody texted us, and I'm a Jags fan, so I have to have a second team to root for.
This is true. This is very true.
Probably pretty accurate.
By the way, guys, you'll love this. The Tampa Bay Lightning's official site, as we were talking about the Chargers' new logo, says, checks mentions, squints, clears throat. For the record, us and the Dodgers are just friends. It's classic. That is fantastic.
That is pretty funny.
And when I look at it again, it's not a full lightning bolt. It's like just a complete LA, and at the end of the L,
they just moved it down.
Bottom tail, they just moved a little triangle down.
King Coffee on Twitter tweeted at me in the Chargers. He's like, after the Chargers made their logo on clip art, they used the mouse to feed the fish and squeezed in an hour of Oregon Trail. It is very Windows 3.1 pixelated kind of move.
You know what? Yeah, you know what this
is? They just took this, moved it down, boom, logo.
This is when your boys Larry and Alex don't want to get a fantasy football team on their own because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
So they combine it, and this is the logo they come up with to be in your fantasy football league. That's what it is. It's that simplistic.
I'm telling you, it's a video game logo from a non-licensed team.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do top three if you want, but your favorite logo of all time in sports. Give me your favorite logo or your top three favorite logos of all time in sports. Obviously, the top three is more conducive to doing to tweets, text messages you can go on forever because Barry reads them. And, you know, calls, we'll take them and then you guys can let us know. And I got one right off the top for top three, but obviously it has what I grew up with. But when I was growing up in Milwaukee, our baseball logo was like the Michigan Wolverines M. It was just a plain blue hat with a yellow M on it, and it couldn't have been more boring. And then the Brewers went to that MB logo that people had to look at for a long time to realize it looks like a baseball glove, but it's an M and a B with a baseball in the middle. And that has always been like that Brewers logo has always been one of my top favorites.
Okay.
I think it's an awesome logo. Guys?
I got to think about it. Let's get through the break and sure. I'll have one for you.
I just thought I'd throw it out there because that's a neat question because I've always been a fan of logos and when I was a kid in collecting cards and stuff like that, they always gave you stickers and I was big on collecting all the stickers of all the team's logos too. So I think that's cool. Let me know what you think. All right, so I want to tell you guys about a company that's been with us for a long time and they just signed on to be with us a whole lot longer. It's a Houston-owned and operated company that is perfect for the people, all Houstonians, and any people privately or with a business that want the best energy coverage they can get. Infuse Energy is phenomenal. Locally owned and operated by Josh Pesikoff. It's a great company because they're not going to screw you over. They're not about getting you to bite on some kind of quick marketing plan that they have and then just say tough luck when you realize it's not tailor-made to fit your needs. If you're going to be a business that is open 9 to 5 and you don't need a whole lot of electricity at night or on weekends, they'll tailor a plan for you. If you're at home and you're working during the day, but at night and on weekends is when you use it the most, they'll do the same. And the customer service is phenomenal. When you call, you're not going to get a recording. You're not going to get an automated system. You're going to get a live human being that is going to be focused on trying to help you as quickly as possible to get to the bottom of your issue and make sure they solve it and they get you a plan and a program that works for you. It's being honest, ensuring that they get clear understanding and they will never confuse, deceive, or be obscure in trying to trick you. They're going to be there for you 100%, 24/7, 365. All you got to do is go to infuseenergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. You mention you heard it on ESPN or mention promo code ESPN975. Right off the top, $25 bill credit. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You get a green plan, offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. They understand how to decrease your carbon footprint. Please check them out, Infuse Energy. I wanna fly away.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, and the Twitter sarcasm is getting better. The Dallas Stars have just tweeted out that their new logo, they said, here's our new logo, hope this is cool, Dallas Cowboys, and it's essentially the Cowboys' exact star logo, only it's green. So they're coming. And the Chargers better be ready because they're going to take it and take it often and for a long time from a lot of people for the logo that they have produced for the new
fan. Why change the logo first year? Just move and use it. Yeah. I mean, you own it.
Got a new stadium the following year, so there's all different
reasons.
You got
a year to like, you could put it up for a fan vote and all that. I mean, there's plenty of creative people in L.A. I don't understand that. Whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. So have you contemplated between you and you? Your favorite logo? Nick, you got a favorite logo in sports?
I'll tell you the one I kind of
hate. The old Hornets logo?
Really?
The Hugo the Hornet? The
old Charlotte Hornets
one? The old
one? The original.
That was a cool one, yeah.
Can I tell you that I really hate this Rockets R with the rocket on the side?
So many people hated that one.
It's still there. Like, they still use it.
Which one? And you're not talking about the pajama logo? The R with the... And
with
at the
smiley
end of
the face thing?
Yeah.
No, but like right now... They have this R, and it just, I don't know why, but it bothers me that it's an R with a rocket on one side of
You're
it.
Not the first person that's told me that, but I don't mind it.
It looks kind of trashy. I don't know. It looks cheap. It looks cheap. It looks like the L.A. Chargers designed that for them.
So yeah. You're talking about just the H and the R together, like the L.A.?
The R.
No, the R with the
R
rocket.
With the rocket
at
on the
bottom
left.
Of it.
It's the straight part of the R is a rocket.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell that's, me that's
on the shorts.
No, just the straight R. Yeah, it's on the shorts. Exactly. It's like their secondary logo.
Is it on the jersey as well? Because I don't remember. I think it's
right here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's right at the center of the neckline. I think there's that R.
I think for me, and it's got a hometown twist to it, but I think one of my favorite logos was the old Colt 45s logo.
With the gun?
With the gun. I think that's one of my favorites. I do like Seattle's logo, the Seahawks, a little bit, but I like that Colt 45 logo. That's probably one of my favorites.
All right, yeah. So what do you guys think? You guys want to let us know what's your favorite logo and why? I guess you can let us know that too, but there's some good ones. Someone just asked me on Twitter, you're from Milwaukee, what's your favorite Best Bucks logo? I'm like more old school. Like sometimes I think they go too far. Like Milwaukee now, the Bucks with that mean-looking deer, it just does nothing for me. And it's like the Timberwolves last night, I kept looking at that center court logo going, they haven't changed that thing yet? It's like two-tone, and it's just too much. I like the old Bucks logo where it was like the cartoon deer spinning the ball on its hoof back in the day, and those were when they had the Astros green uniforms with they called them the green and growing years, but they had the Astros like rainbow, but on the side in different colors of green. Though I mean, I like the old traditional. There's not a lot. Most teams now can't say that they are traditional like the Yankees in their uniforms or the Packers or the Giants. Most teams don't change because they build that tradition and history. And then all the new teams, it started with the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think, where they had like 66 versions of sleeveless, six hats, that they just went crazy nuts over the top with their logos and their uniforms.
Yeah. I one of the other ones that I like is the old Patriots logo with the guy hiking the football.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's another good one.
I love that old school logo. That's back in the Steve Grogan days. That's an awesome logo. Yep, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
El Jefe, of course, shows you that he's a bandwagon when he's not a local. He goes Spurs, Yankees, Astros, Texans.
Okay. Man, that's about right.
Yeah, we can turn that page. I like Richard. Richard tweeted in the new Chargers logo should be instead of L.A., it's the two L's of the L.A. logo with an O in the middle for LOL. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That was like a good one. All right, so you guys let us know what you think. You can hit us up on the hotline. It's 713-780-ESPN, which means you can text that number and you can call that number. And if you don't want to do that, you can hit us up on Twitter, and we'll get it out there for you.
Before we do the Ice Cube thing, I know we're going to do the Ice Cube 3-on-3 thing. I know you're going to do that. Yeah, but I just had to say, I saw something run across like a ticker or something about Matt Moore, and I was going to Google it because they were like, oh, there has been a fine passed out and all that. So I went to Google and I typed in Matt Moore. And can I tell you that, you know how Google gives you suggestions?
Right.
The very first suggestion is Matt Moore dead.
Jeez.
And then it goes Matt Moore NFL, Matt Moore stats, Matt Moore career stats. And so I was like, okay, what is Matt Moore dead? Let me Google this and see what comes up. And you guys, some of the headlines from when he got hit are hilarious. Like Barstool Sports just tweeted out, Matt Moore is dead. He is dead. That was a tweet. And then someone went to Wikipedia and pronounced him dead during the game on his Wikipedia page, which is, this is why the internet was invented, because that is absolutely hilarious to me. I mean, thank God he's okay and all that, but people were saying he was dead, and that's a trending search on Google. Matt Moore dead. I just thought that was hilarious.
And the funny thing was, ironically, he went back in the game.
Yeah,
he was tough enough to go back in the game, but there are people right now that are biting hook, line, and sinker.
That hit though, yeah.
This is not real news. This is fake news, and I hate it.
Gabriel said the Chicago Bulls logo.
It's also a good old school traditional logo. That's definitely a good logo. The creative ones I like too. I love the old Expos logo, which everybody thought was MLB, but it was just a red, white, and blue M for Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a cool logo. That was back in the days when they had some good players too.
Yep.
So let us know what you think on logos. We want to get to this. Barry's right. And we can just talk about it briefly, but because I teased it, I'll bring it up. But Ice Cube, yes, that Ice Cube, the rapper. He has decided that he wants to create a basketball league for those that used to play and want to still play and maybe have a little left to play for. It's a 3-on-3 league. It's a half-court league, but he's got some pretty heavy hitters participating. He's going to participate, I think, but he went all out. He got Allen Iverson, Chauncey Billups, Kenyon Martin, Jermaine O'Neal, Steven Jackson. The commissioner is Roger Mason Jr., who was the vice president of the Players Association, so he can oversee it from a standpoint of making it as real and cool as possible. Coaches are already signed up are George Gervin, Gary Payton, and they're going to play, I believe, to 60, and they're going to have, after the first team hits 30, they're going to have a seven-minute halftime, half-court, 3-on-3, and there are subs, and they're hoping to get a lot of ex-players and celebs to want to participate in the league. Would you guys watch it?
Nope.
Even on TV?
If I was there, not on TV, no. If I was there.
This is very Globetrotter-ish.
I don't like it either. I mean, you know what? This is like yesterday. Tom Brady's agent and a bunch of people said they're going to put together, instead of people, what it's going to do is piss off the NCAA. They have basically said that they're going to start a new football league where it costs $50,000 if the kid wants to participate, but it's going to be run by NFL-style, NFL coaches and NFL-experienced people, and they're going to run nothing but like NFL pro-style offenses and defenses, and it's going to be like, I think, 8 teams, and it's going to be the easiest way to be scouted and prepared for the NFL when they get ready to go, and they'll skip the NCAA to participate, and I'm like, it's just another gimmicky thing.
It's just XFL.
Yeah, I just steroids.
I think it's a great little. I mean, this would make for a great little all-star weekend thing. This 3-on-3.
It's a good point.
Like, why not do something like that? But to start a whole league, like, I don't really want to watch Allen Iverson dribbling the ball off of his foot because he's old now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have any interest in that. If they were still good enough, and you know, good enough to watch, then they would still be in the NBA. But the fact of the matter is that these guys are all gone because they're either old or their skills have diminished to the point where you don't want to watch that at the highest level of basketball. So I think it's a great novelty thing. It would be cool if they did it, like, you know, had the 3-on-3 All-Stars Challenge where it was, you know, All-Stars from the past and they all get together and do some sort of tournament. That would be fun and yay and use all the rules.
I think for All-Star Weekend, take away that whole stupid three-person one WNBA or one legend and one other person where they do that shooting thing where they got to make a half-court shot and a three and a free throw and all that, and bring this in instead. It's kind of like the celebrity game, only not as cardiovascular for those that maybe can't get up and down the wood anymore.
Somebody texted and said they have a 4-point line.
Yeah, they do. They're going to have three spots on the court that are like really long distance shots, and those are four pointers.
I wonder if I could chunk up a hook shot from
there. Oh, there's no doubt. I'm not saying you could draw rim, yeah, but I'm saying that there's definitely a hook shot to be had from the 4-point range.
So before we go to break, we got a couple of texts for people's logos. I want to get those in. Somebody said for sure baseball as the best iconic team logos. Broncos D with Bronco in the middle was the best ever. The Oilers Derek. Not a big fan of that. The old Patriot, Pat, and then the Rockets 94-95 logo.
Oh, the ketchup and mustard. That was very simple.
Yeah. Atlanta Hawks logo looks like Pac-Man. I don't know about that.
A little bit.
You think so?
I mean, you could if you just go with the circle with the open mouth and you just...
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. Someone agreed with me about the Colt 45s. Someone said FSU Seminoles looks like he's ready for a Trump shower.
Ooh, I know someone that isn't going to take too kindly to that one.
Somebody said the Aggie logo looks really stupid. I can't argue with that. The damn beveled ATM, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It didn't bother me that much.
I didn't.
I don't like it. And then someone said that their favorite logo, if it's not, doesn't have to be teams, is the Jordan. Which I think might be the most iconic logo
logos. I think, and arguably you'll say, because they said that the two biggest logos in the world are, or maybe three, because it goes with team franchises, but the Yankees, the Cowboys, and I believe Manchester United, I don't know what logo that they have, but I would say right up there, and like you said, maybe that could trump all three of those, the Air Jordan logo.
Somebody's best logos, Houston Comets, Minnesota Lynx, LA Sparks. I'm with you 1,000% on that. You know my love of WNBA basketball, guys.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yep. All right, well, we got plenty more show to go. We got one in the books, two to go, lots more topics to get to. We want you to be a part of it, so please hit us up, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, and we are ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.